Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, back to reality of sorts now. A new Taylor Swift album usually means an outbreak of celebrity beef. And indeed, there was plenty of it in the air anyway. But 2FM's Afric O'Connell is here in studio to talk us through some celebrity feuds. Hi, Afric.
Hi, Brendan. How are you?
Good. So what is celebrity beef and why do we love it?
I love a celebrity beef. In fact, I like to pretend that I'm above all this, but I'm very much
yes,
not.
And we're doing a highbrow examination
absolutely.
Of it now, obviously.
We're doing a story about the story
exactly.
rather than the story. But Taylor released The Tortured Poets Department on Friday. Initially, people thought it was going to be about 14 tracks. It turned out to be 31 because she released a bonus second album kind of with it. So it all goes into the Tortured Poets Department. It's her 11th studio album. She has been notorious, really, for writing songs about, particularly about her past relationships, and kind of does start some beef when
she gets away with it too. Like, she still always manages to be the victim, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does a little bit. There's no
so who is she beefing with on her new album?
So on this album, I had to go through the various diss tracks that are on the Georgia Bombs Department, and there are a couple. The Taylor Nation on the internet are very good at kind of figuring out what song might be about whom. So Long London is one of the tracks on the new album, and that is about her relationship. People seem to think it is about her relationship with the actor Joe Alwyn, who we saw in Conversations with Friends here. And she had a relationship with him for 6 years. Fans are very, very convinced that So Long London track is about him. Not too bad. In the scheme of things, don't think it's going to start any beef, but there is one on the album called The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, and that apparently is about Matty Healy of the 1975, with whom she had a brief kind of relationship as well. Some of the spicier lyrics in there is about how he wore a Jehovah's Witness suit and was buying sort of illicit substances off, you know, a friend, you know, friends of hers, all this kind of thing. There is a bit of beef there, there's no doubt. And his family has gone to the Sun to defend Matty Healy.
More fool them. Stay out of it. I believe Kim Kardashian has decided to just keep a low profile about her diss track.
Taylor has dug this out of the deep freeze because this is a decade-long beef which had been put to bed pretty much a long time ago. But there is a track on the album called Thank You, Amy. And the K, the I and the M is capitalized in the track list. So in the lyrics there talked about the long running beef between herself and Kim and also, of course, Kanye West. It all erupted when Kanye rushed the stage when at the VMAs when Taylor was receiving her award, said that Beyonce should have got it, all that kind of thing. There was a fairly ugly kind of beef between the three of them really for years and years. Kind of thought it had been put to bed, but Taylor has resurrected this now, and I do feel now I love a beef, but I do feel that you have to do it within the calendar decade.
The beef statute of limitations.
Exactly.
I hear you. Yeah,
exactly. So
I suppose if you're looking for 31 songs, though, maybe you have to go back a bit.
You have to go back.
You have to go back.
So there's lyrics there about Taylor's mother, who she describes as a saintly woman, wishing that Amy. Read what you want into that. We're dead for beating her daughter's spirit black and blue. So there's a bit of spice there.
Okay.
That was absolutely fossilized, that beef, but it has been resurrected. Kim seems to be keeping a fairly low profile. She's a billionaire. She doesn't need to deal with this.
You want to watch it reheating beef, though, like
you
bacteria.
Do.
Yeah.
You certainly do. Yes.
Courtney Love now, who is, let's face it, she's a prime rib old school style, right?
Yes.
She took on all comers this week.
She did, because she has a new podcast out on the BBC called Courtney Loves Women, and it is about artists, female artists that she respects very much.
Okay, she promoted this by attacking a load of women.
By speaking to the standard in the UK and attacking a load of women that she doesn't find very important. So she came for Taylor Swift. She said, like, the thing about Courtney is that she will do this. She will give really good lines to, you know, newspapers and stuff. And of course, it will a load of people who wouldn't have listened to the podcast in the first place are now going to listen to the podcast, you know, all that kind of thing. So there's a bit of that too. But she said about Taylor Swift that Taylor is not important. She's not an important artist. She said that she might be a safe space for girls. She's probably the Madonna of now. So you get a dick in a Madonna as well. But she's not interesting as an artist, is what Courtney said. She also had a go at Lana Del Rey. She said, I haven't liked Lana since she covered a John Denver song. I think she should take 7 years. She should have taken 7 years off when she did that. She does love Patti Smith, Nina Simone, PJ Harvey, Debbie Harry, and Joni Mitchell.
Okay, she's showing her age but there now. Let's face it. Come on, Courtney. Get with the program.
But you know what's funny though, Brendan? Like the thing about social media and how Taylor and I suppose younger artists use social media to their benefit and to create a narrative. Like, Taylor's fans on social media do not hold back and have been accusing Courtney Love of only being relevant because she was, you know, married to Kurt Cobain and all that kind of stuff, and trying to remain relevant through the prism of Taylor Swift in this instance, which may or may not be true.
Okay, so you can't win either
can't
way.
Can't win either way, no.
Jen texts in to say, if you want a solid diss track, listen to Drake's latest against Kendrick Lamar.
Yes.
Very clever use of AI using Tupac and Snoop Dogg. Now, is Drake in beef with pretty much everybody right now?
Drake is in beef with the whole world, by what it seems like. And it's kind of comforting a little bit because beefs have always been a staple of the rap world, you know, particularly in the 90s, the East Coast, West Coast feud and all that in the States as well. And they haven't gone away. And it's kind of comforting to see. So at the moment, Drake has found himself in the crosshairs of people who have been his friends, past collaborators, all that kind of stuff. Kendrick Lamar being one, Rick Ross being another. Rick Ross was one of Drake's most consistent kind of collaborators over the years. But now an ex of Rick Ross has gone on Instagram Live to say that Rick Ross was saying horrendous things about Drake when Drake wasn't, you know. And now they're engaged in what seems like a very embarrassing meme war on Instagram and stuff. And it's all a bit unseemly. So
you see, that's the thing. Is it all a bit unseemly? Do we not like to think these people have better things to be doing?
I would love to think that they have better things to be doing, but also I kind of love this because Rick Ross has been putting up, he put out his own diss track called Champagne Moments. And there, I don't know if you ever saw it, but there was a photo that was doing the rounds, a viral photo on the internet, of a man that looked so much like Drake from a, you know, 70s yearbook photo. And it was kind of used to take them out of Drake over that. So he has been using that. He's calling Drake white boy in reference to his mixed race background, all of that. And they have been going back and forth on Instagram and in tracks.
It's not exactly high level stuff.
Trading.
But the thing is, if they're all getting material out of it, I suppose.
Exactly.
Tell me about Nicki Minaj and Megan Thee Stallion. They've had quite lucrative beef recently.
Massively lucrative beef, yeah. Because the thing was that this was a little bit grim, because it went into very much real world consequences. So Nicki and Megan Thee Stallion were friends as well for a long time at the beginning of their careers. But also there is a beef now between the two of them. Megan dropped a song called Hiss in January, and she criticizes people who talk about her 24 hours for attention. And the idea is that this is about Nicki Minaj.
This is like school.
Exactly. It is like school. Now, Minaj isn't mentioned by name, but they enough information in there that you would.
Okay.
You
is that the trick? Like, you don't always
have to say it, but you say it. We're not saying it, you know?
Yeah.
But also, there was Megan Thee Stallion was shot in the foot by an ex-partner of hers.
Well, was she?
Yes, she was.
I believe Drake denies that ever happened.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So all of this kind of thing, Nicki then released a single called Bigfoot, which is a reference to, or believed to be a reference to, Meghan's height and B, the fact that she was shot in the foot by an ex-partner of hers.
Okay, questioning the veracity of that.
Questioning the veracity of that. And also, but the feud helped both of them massively.
Two massive hits.
Number one and number two in the American Spotify chart, so you can't really you can't really say no. You can't really say much about that. You know, if it works, it works kind of thing.
No, look, it's nothing new. Will we go back to a bit of classic beef?
Yeah.
Say Gwyneth Paltrow and Martha Stewart.
This was good. I loved this because it was really the battle of the lifestyle gurus. Martha Stewart, of course, massively famous in the States for, you know, for cooking and home and all these big TV shows. Gwyneth, of course, post her acting career or alongside it, Goop is her, people will know about the candles and the coffee enemas and all that kind of stuff. But the feud between Gwyneth and Martha started back in 2014, and Martha said about Goop, she said, Gwyneth's a movie star. If she was confident in her acting, she wouldn't be trying to be Martha Stewart. So it didn't end there. And Martha posted a pie recipe called Conscious Coupling in November 2014. We'll all remember when Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow broke up. They called it a conscious uncoupling.
Yeah.
And then a month later, Gwyneth posted her own recipe called Jailbird Cake, which was a dig at Martha Stewart's time in prison for fraud charges back in 2004. So I really enjoyed that. It was light.
Yeah,
I liked
but unseemly nonetheless.
Yes.
Do we like people more for beefs or do we enjoy them but actually it diminishes them in our eyes?
I think I quite like the idea that they're all as petty as the rest of us. Kind of way, that they're not, that this isn't some kind of astral plane that they're living on. This is actually just they're down in the gutter with the rest of us, which is kind of nice, you know?
Okay, so relatability.
Relatability.
Before you go, tell me briefly, Azealia Banks, the singer, has beef with the whole nation of Ireland.
You will like this one in particular because if you go to Azealia Banks' webpage, there is a blue link, which is just a link to all her controversies. It has its own Wikipedia page. But she got into a beef with the nation of Ireland in 2019. She was on an Aer Lingus flight. She had sold out an Academy show in Dublin. She was trying to get to Dublin. Something happened on the plane. They ended up, herself and her travel partner ended up exiting the plane, I think probably at the request of the Aer Lingus staff. She went on a complete rant on her Instagram stories about ugly Aer Lingus stewards and all that kind of thing. When people commented on her Instagram about it, Irish people commented, she said things like, don't you have a famine to go die in?
Whatever about drawing the Taylor Swift fans on you, like don't mess with Ireland. Azealia's dead to us. Africa O'Connell, and I just like to say I've no problem with you, okay?
I've no problem with you, Brendan, for the moment.
Thank you very much for now. We'll take a break.